All right, praise the Lord. I want to continue talking about overcoming fear. You know, last week we talked about in session one, and we talked about kinds of fear and so forth and so on. Of course, our scripture is 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. 2 Corinthians 1:7. Now, also look at Romans 8:15. Romans 8:15. All right, everybody found Romans 8:15? All right. For you did not receive the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Now, we see that we don't have a spirit of fear. Fear is bondage. And so you don't have to be a slave to fear. But we have to have an understanding of fear. If we're going to deal with it, we've got to have an understanding of it. Now, you know, there's different elements of fear. Fear can produce timidity and faithfulness, listlessness, dread, cowardice, and so forth and so on. But the word fear, instead of the word fear, we could put some other words there, because sometimes people substitute a word for fear. Actually, when people say, I'm worrying about that, they're saying, I'm fearful of that. Really? Hello? See, they don't say they're afraid. But if you're worrying about something all the day, you know, that's fear. And have you ever dreaded something? Oh, I just dread that I have to go over there. That's a form of fear. See, we don't realize sometimes how sneaky the devil is to get into us and to begin to try to get in our lives. And, you know, we get dismayed about something that comes our way, and that can cause fear to manifest. Anxiety is just another word for fear. All right? And of course, you got terror, which is fear. I mean, it's associated with extreme panic, extreme stuff. Now, how in the first place did fear get into us? And many times we have fear in us that we don't realize was put there a long time ago, and we don't understand why we're fearful in some areas. Now, of course, we all know that sin causes fear. I mean, everybody knows that. But fear also can... is a spirit, and it can come through a false information given to you. But one way that fear has gotten into people is that parents and people in authority have been critical toward you, threatening, even. It goes as far as to go into child abuse and child abandonment. But another thing that parents have done that has put fear in their kid and doesn't even realize it is, the boogeyman's going to get you. Or that policeman's going to get you if you're not good. Now, we don't realize those, but that actually is programming fear into somebody. And down the road, we get to be adults, and some of this stuff comes out, and we don't know where it's coming from. How many understand what I'm saying to you? Come on. See, I'm talking about really understanding how fear gets into our lives and how that it's gotten into our lives. Now, a traumatic event in your life can cause fear. Being robbed or being in an accident. I've known people, I mean, that they're so afraid in a car because they were in an accident. They're so afraid that they sit there all tensed up. They don't realize it, but they're afraid. You know, you don't have to be afraid of that. And then sometimes that we've been close to an act of violence. And if we see anything like that close to us, fear grips us. Actually, it comes from something happened a long time ago, and then all of a sudden it comes out down the road. That's how fear will operate in your life. We're talking about how fear comes into our lives and we don't realize it. Another way that fear gets into our lives is by viewing wrong material and reading wrong material. Horror shows, mystery books, certain programs that you watch on television can promote fear in you. And many times these things are, the enemy uses this because he's so subtle. But he realizes if he can get a little foothold here and get a little fear in, pretty soon he can take over. Hello? Now, there are some religions that thrive on fear. They dominate you with fear. Their theology is built on an angry God that's going to slap you down. And to keep you in line with their rules and obeying their church rules, they tell you that you're going to lose your salvation if you don't do this and don't do that. Now, I'm not talking about not living in line with the Word of God, okay? How many of you have ever been involved in something where they told you if you do, God's gonna get you if you don't do this or don't? Anybody? Yeah. But see, now that's without realizing it. Now we're being programmed that God is gonna get us. Come on, don't look at me like that. You know, different fields use fear tactics on television. Oh, it's the flu season. You don't get your flu shot, you're gonna get the flu. If you don't use this brand, you might get cancer. And they don't. They all they heard was this product and cancer. Okay, that's if I use that product, I won't get cancer. Come on, have you ever heard that in advertisements? Yeah. Sometimes salesmen use fear to try to get you to purchase. You know, sometimes insurance salesmen, you know, boy, if you don't buy this product, if you don't buy this policy right now, you could have a wreck tomorrow and be dead, and now your family won't have no money. Well, that's a fear tactic. You know, and a salesman say, oh, if you don't buy this product right now at this price, because it's going to go up tomorrow. And you end up buying. Years and years and years ago when we were using tape, and my head man, he came to me and he said, man, they just called me, the salesman just called, and he said, man, if we will buy X number, we can buy X number of rolls, and we use these big spools of tape, and they were on the loop machine, and they would just go round and round, and then we would load our own cassettes, and we can buy this at this price. If we buy them this week, we can get them at this price, because in 30 days they're going up $5-$10 a pancake. They were called pancakes. And I said, wait a minute. I said, go check with another company and see. I said, there's other companies that sell that same brand. Go check with them. He went, I said, no, they said there's not any price in it. I said, all he's trying to scare you into buying a big bunch of, so he can make some money. That was a scare tactic. Help me understand what I'm talking to you about. See, there are many, many ways that fear tries to dominate us. You know, many people have had somebody in their life that has just dominated over them. And now if they get around anybody that has a dominant personality, they immediately get in fear. See, we're talking about fear. And so if you're going to deal with fear, just like any subject, you're going to deal with it. You got to know what it is, where it comes from, how it gets there, all the origins and so forth. That way you can deal with it intelligently. See, some people don't deal with the subject intelligently because they don't get all the information that is needed. And so what I'm trying to do is to get us to realize where we are in all of this. And you know, I talked last week about that there's the godly fear and there's healthy fear and there's evil fear. And we talked about that. We talked about all the phobias and so forth and so on. And then we found out that fear came through sin, through the devil. And he's a spirit. It's a spiritual thing. So now we're trying to come back here and realize God has not given us a spirit of fear. So any of these things that could or might have happened to us in days gone by, now when we run into something close to that, that begins to come back out, and the fear begins to come back. You know. So now, we see this. So now let's understand the way that we can deal with all of these different situations and different things that are coming into our lives. See, fear is going to come to all of us. The devil will try to get you into fear, because if he can get you into fear, he can get you out of faith. That's what his main goal is, to get you out of faith, because if he gets you out of faith, then you don't believe what God says, and now you're going the opposite direction. So fear. See, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Now let's look at this in contrast. All right? Spirit of fear, not of God. Power and a love and a sound mind, God. Right? See, this verse shows us that fear is not of God, and that fear is not of God's doing. Remember when we talked about when fear first came back in Genesis, the first time fear ever mentioned was after Adam had sinned. And he told God, I was afraid and hid. There's fear. Okay, that's when it came. It came in through the devil, and it's still coming into your life through the enemy today, trying to get you fearful of everything. Now, from this verse, spirit of fear, power and love and sound mind. Now, let's look at this and begin to break it down a little bit. We can see what happens when fear comes. evidently, there is loss of power. Because he said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. So evidently, when the spirit of fear comes in, you lose power. If you ever notice, fearful people lose the power to function in a good way. And when the spirit of fear comes in, you lose the power to function in what God said. Because now you're functioning in fear instead of in faith. Okay? You ever notice fearful people are weak? There's some people that's afraid of everything. I mean, they go around all the time. I'm just afraid that this is going to happen. I'm just afraid this is going to happen. I'm just afraid this is going to happen. And they live in a spirit of fear, in a constant spirit of fear. Now, if you ever notice, fearful people don't go around and say in Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? See, there's a loss of power. You can't go around and you can't say the Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? If you got a spirit of fear, you got to get rid of the spirit of fear. Now there's a loss of love, evidently, because he says here that we hadn't been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love. So evidently, when the spirit of fear comes, you lose your ability to act and walk in love. And if you ever talk about it, fearful people sometimes become self-centered. Because they're afraid they're going to get left out. So they'll crawl over everybody just to make sure that they get on top. Well, that's not love, right? Yeah, fearful people are consumed with self-preservation. Thank you, hon. You know, sometimes if you're in a situation where there's several people and there is something going on, a fire, earthquake or something, people get in fear and instead of, they run over everybody, knock people down, everything else, trying to get out rather than trying to help everybody. Hello? See, probably if the fire alarms went off in this building right now, there'd be some people get up and run out. Because they'd, the building's on fire, the building's on fire. Or, you know, on my birthday, you know, The Lord wanted to celebrate my birthday by having an earthquake around here. So everybody knew it was my birthday. And it happened right about the same time I was born. It did. Around 7 o'clock in the morning. And that's when I was born. No, not really. But see, some people get really, when the earthquake come, they got really fearful. You know, I was spent 22 months in Taipei, Taiwan. We had earthquake about every day. I mean, we had them all the time. I was working the midnight shift, you know, in the comm center, and so I'd gone over Sergeant's house and Sergeant Abbott's place, and because I couldn't sleep at the hostel, and so I would upstairs, wasn't nobody else home but me, and I was in his son's room. He had bunk beds, and they were against the wall, and So something woke me up, and I looked up, and I'm looking straight at the light in the middle of the room. And then I felt the bed shaking. I realized that bed had moved all the way from against the wall to the middle of the room. I said, "Man, this is an earthquake." And now I just said to myself, "Now you better get down and get out off of this second floor." And so, but I didn't get panicky. And there were some other people that got panicky. One guy got panicky, fell down the stairs, and broke his arm. One of the guys that worked in the army, he got so scared running down the stairs, he tripped and fell and broke his arm. Now, we were in Peru several years ago, and one night at a Holiday Inn on about the 10th or 12th floor. And so I woke up and I heard the hangers rattling in the closet, and I felt the bed shaking. And she, "What's that? What is that?" I said, "Oh, it's just an earthquake, you know." Now, she had never been. She was experiencing some fear. And so I said, "Listen," right outside the door, I said, "I always notice things. I notice everything. If you can ask some of the people that work with me, tell you, I notice everything." I had noticed walking down the hall, and there was a big sign that said, "Earthquake safety area." And it was right outside our door of our room. And I said, "Come on." And I was getting up and ready to go out. And, you know, I just remained calm. She was a little excited, I thought. And then about that time it stopped. So, you know, I went by. I said, "Well, I'm going back to bed. I'm going to sleep." And she said it took her a while to get back to sleep. But you see, fear wanted to grip me, but I didn't let fear grip me. See, fear will come in and try to grip you, but you've got to stand against it. You got to stand against fear that will try to grip you. Because in fear, then, evidently, we lose a sound mind. That means that we have a lack of being able to think properly. And if you don't have a sound mind to think properly, you'll make a decision that you wouldn't make. Fear has a tendency to tell your mind, "This is what you need to do," and it's the wrong thing to do. You know, fear will cause you to believe something that's not even true. When I was about 13, I think I was. Anyway, I woke up one night. I heard this scraping, and we didn't have Venetian blinds back then. We had shades you pull down. How many of you know about pull down shades? And if there's a light on the other side of the shade out there, and somebody's out there, they'll cast a shadow on the shade, right? Well, I would hear this raking sound, and then I'd see this thing come down on that shade, look like maybe a man's hand. And I thought, "Oh, somebody trying to break in." So now I get scared, laying in a bed, pull a cover up, you know. And then finally I said, "Well, it's crazy." So I get up and I go over to the door, because they had the back door there. And I open the door, the wind is blowing, and that old mimosa tree out there, it was scraping the side of the house, coming down like that, scraping the side of the house. And the way the limbs went and those mimosa leaves that hang down, the way they were, it looked like a hand, you know. Now, there I was laying in the bed shaking, and I was afraid of something that wasn't there. That's what not having a sound mind will help you. You won't see, once I began to think rationally, I got up to go see what was going on. You see, you know, see, now we got to understand that fear can grow. Just like faith grows. Faith grows by hearing the word, right? then fear grows by hearing what the world is saying and what's happening in it. See, hear, see, feel causes fear to rise, right? Now look at this. The disciples in the boat, the wind was blowing, the waves was crashing, they got afraid, right? How many read that story? Peter got out of the boat. Oh, man, he was really excited. I'm going to walk to Jesus on the water. And when he saw the wind and the waves, fear came. And he began to sink. But now look at another man. He received bad news. Jairus. Mark chapter 5. See, when Jesus healed a woman with issue of blood, he was on his way to Jairus' house because his daughter was sick. Well, the servant came and said, "Don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead." And Jesus said to him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Now, he has an opportunity. He can either, he can go with this, or and so he chose to believe God. He didn't get in fear. He didn't rush home, so, "Oh, I got to rush home." And all he said, "I just believe God." Hello. Jairus could have believed the report and got in fear, but he chose not to. Listening to a bad report can get you into fear. That's why you don't need to listen to some of the bad reports. Listen to what's good. You see, it seems that the devil tries to bring fear through what we hear, what we see, and what we feel. Okay? Before getting victory over fear, you have to shut the door to it. So, how do you shut the door to it? By understanding all of these things that I talked about tonight, that they're coming from the enemy. He's bringing them in. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. And so you shut the door to that, and you begin to listen to what the word says. You begin to watch the things that are edifying, and you stay out of certain environments. That's all you do. Is it possible to have victory over fear? Yes. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and a love and sound mind. So we can stand and say, come on, stand up with me and let's say it. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And we can say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad into it. And then we can say, the Lord is my strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? Say it with me. Fear has no place in my life. Unless I give it. And I'm not giving fear a place in my life, because I am a new creature in Christ. Therefore, I will not fear. Though the wind blow, though circumstances come, the Lord is my strength. Whom will I fear? I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Raise your hands and thank God. Thank God, because we do not have to fear. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes we just need to stop and really go back and analyze something and break it down. You know, sometimes we just look at, oh, fear. Yeah, it's real. But we don't have to be consumed with it. We don't have to allow it to end our lives. Hello. So, did I help anybody tonight? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hey, if you happen to be in this place tonight and you don't happen to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to find him. See, you can't get out of fear because until you find Jesus. Because it says the devil is stealing, killing, and destroying, but he's come to give us life and give it more abundantly. And if you're here and need to rededicate your life, or if you're here and go to church and don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ or not, if you'll come to the ladies over here, the men over here, we dismiss, come down here. They'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for any reason, for anything, want to receive the Holy Spirit, want healing, want prayer for anything, come to the front as we're dismissed and they'll pray with you. Now, connection team, go find our first time guests. Take them to get that special gift that we have for them. If you happen to be looking for a church home, what we say, church? Welcome home. Praise the Lord. You found it right here. Just come and enjoy Life Unlimited with us. We're having a great time serving God. Amen. Amen. Hey, don't forget all the announcements, but especially don't forget the We Care Center. We're feeding, helping feed all those people. Now, somebody might not know this, but the Lord told me to start the We Care Center. Way back, I guess in the late 80s, when we had the oil crisis and the oil businesses shut down, and we had lots of people, I mean, you had engineers and all kinds of people out of jobs, and so we actually started it for people in the church that to help them. How many were here and remember when we did it? I know there's Ron and Willene Harrington's there, the Bill's over there. And then as things grew, we expanded it to, and so it's for, if you're having difficulty, don't be ashamed, and you need a little food to tide you over, hey, go over and tell Bill and he'll give you food. We'll help you get through your crisis. And then we extended it out to others. And so that's how the We Care Center started. It was a God idea. It wasn't mine. God's the one told me to do it. It's a God idea. And we've helped thousands through the years now. Praise God. And so if you and I want to encourage you, if you're going through a crisis in here, don't be ashamed. That's the Lord told us to start it for the people in the church to start with. Then we expanded it out because things began to turn around. So we expanded it out to others. So, hey, that's what the We Care. Don't forget, bring some groceries. And don't forget something else. What? How many pounds we need? I think they got it, Bill. All right. Hey, if you need prayer for any reason, come to the front now. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to allow fear in my life. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning right here. Come believing, come expecting. God bless.